Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
We're continuing Our Love Looks Like Something. And as I said last week, it's such an important next focus for us because our vision word for the year is bold. But boldness without love is destructive, right? In fact, it's one of the most destructive things possible on earth. And so as we are unpacking what it means to be bold this year, we must always do it on a foundation of God's love. Like I said last week, Western society likes to celebrate romantic love the most, but there are different words in Greek for love. It's not just all love like it is in English. And it's so sad when the church also just talks about romantic love. And so this month we're unpacking different words for love. And one of them is storge or philia. They're different ones. And we're going to talk about the community and friendship and familiar love. There are all these different kinds. We're going to be unpacking that today and next week more. If you look at the New Testament and we read Paul's letters to the church, they're basically love letters, if you really look at them. Not like romantic love letters, but a deep brotherly kind of love. And I encourage you, next time you crack open your Bible and read some of Paul's letters, to read them through the eyes of love that he was writing them from. Because in Christ, we have an opportunity to live in a brotherly level kind of love. So I just wanted to put this out there because, as I said, it is Valentine's Day. If you are single this morning, Thrive is for you. If you are married, Thrive is for you because our vision is for your home to thrive. Amen? And it's so important that we stand together in that. We don't glorify one thing over the other. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Brian's brother, David, who ironically I always used to call my brother and then he became my brother, so be careful what you call each other. I'm going to put that out there. He was a metal drummer, so he loved metal. And he was a good metal drummer. And it was very fun when he was our drummer here. This was like 10, 15 years ago at this point. Yeah. He had a double bass pedal. Was anyone around for that time? All right, there's like a couple hands. Man, you were in worship, and then he started the double bass pedal, and it was like, do-do-do-do-do-do. And I promise you, we weren't singing metal. I was singing. I don't sing metal. You don't want me to try to sing metal. But it was really powerful because it just brought this rich tone, and sometimes he'd do like a heartbeat with it. But the other thing he had was, and for all the drummers that we have now, we are grateful you probably don't listen to metal. So you just so you know, thank you. Not all of us like metal, okay? But the other thing that David had was this cymbal that he would crash, and I'll never forget it. He brought it in without talking to me. I was the worship leader at the time. He brought it in without talking to me, and we were like deep in worship, and suddenly I hear this crashing cymbal. It's called a China cymbal. And of course, I was preaching this specifically for a couple of people here that aren't here. So maybe you're watching online because I know you do listen to metal. China cymbals, I asked Brian, he sold it, so I couldn't crash it. But let me tell you, it's a sound. It's a loud sound. It's not my favorite. And he crashed it, and I just gave him this death look. I was like, what did you do? Why are you crashing that in worship? It's apparently an ancient Chinese instrument. Used for thousands of years in military and traditional music. So this is a very strong cymbal. And then according to Google, they're known for their trashy and explosive sound. Trashy and explosive. That's a direct quote. And what I realized was, without love, who's pretty trashy and explosive? Anybody? I thought that was a very good copy and paste right in. I'll tell you what, without love, my marriage is very trashy and very explosive, right? Or my attitude, or my workplace, or my habits, how I see you, how I see myself. And I just thought that China cymbal, I hope David never watches this message. He lives in Denmark. I think we're safe. But that China cymbal is a great sound of a trashy and explosive situation without love. If you missed last Sunday, I talked about how we are physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually created to receive and give God's love. And I'm not going to go over it because we're starting a little bit late here this morning for my time, but go listen to the podcast last week because it's the part one of the part two of today. And I know we were missing most people because it was icy and it was what it was. So today we're going to talk about part two. And this is the question I've been asking. What if Thrive could be the biggest receivers and givers of God's love in New York State? All right. So number one, we're going to talk about being the biggest givers. Can you just say giver? So we're going to talk about giving love to Jesus. So our key verse for the month is we love because he first loved us. That's 1 John 4:19. I encourage you to memorize it. If you ever think, I like to look here because sometimes my train of thought goes, but it's very simple to memorize, all right? So we love because he first loved us. And the love I have to give you doesn't originate with me. It originates with God if I receive it. The forgiveness I have to give you doesn't originate with me, but with God if I first receive it. Kind of like what Mary was talking about a little bit. It's like, I will love you to the extent that I have experienced love on earth. But how many know that's not enough love? We need to receive love that's supernatural so that we have something to give that is greater than what we have received just on earth. Are you following? My capacity and ability to love you or forgive you is directly in proportion to how much I have received God's love and forgiveness in my life overall and every day. And real practically, it looks like if I have not centered with Jesus and received from God for the day, I can watch my attitude just sour and sour and sour throughout the day. And maybe it's subtle and maybe it's just inside, but by the end of the day, I know I dried up. Instead of pouring out like I was created to. Amen? So one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of the woman pouring out her alabaster jar of perfume at Jesus' feet. And there was a worship song we were trying to get to today, and we never made it to. So Deanna and Jason, I know Brian's not in the room, so I don't know if we can end with this song. We might not be able to, but it's a really good song. It's "The More I Seek You, The More I Find You." And I just thought it was like the song for the sermon. And then we, of course, ran out of time for it. But it's the song that I think she could be singing. But we're going to read this in Luke chapter 7. So if you want to open up your Bible this morning, Luke chapter 7, verse 44. So if you don't know this story, it's the story of a woman that is described as a sinful woman, and most say she was most likely a prostitute or she committed very public sins in order to be called a sinful woman in the Bible. And she came to a house where Jesus was invited over and began to worship him. So we're going to start in verse 44. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, so this is Jesus responding to the host, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little." But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. I was thinking about our worship team, and if you're pouring your heart out on this worship team, it isn't because you're extra holy, but because you know you are extra loved and extra forgiven. And when I forget that I am forgiven and I am loved, my ability to worship and respond to God starts to go down. And you may have found that. When we live in denial of our need to receive and give God's forgiveness, his grace and love, we deny God what he deserves in worship. We don't give God or anyone else what Jesus died to give us, his unconditional love. Even Simon, the leader who invited Jesus over in this story, didn't give Jesus the love that he deserved. It took a woman remembering that she was forgiven to do it. So we can come into church and invite God in, but that's not what it's about. It's about remembering and asking God to remind us how forgiven we are so we can respond to him. We can be like Simon on a Sunday morning or in your life and say, well, I invited Jesus over. That's fantastic. But how are we responding to him in our life? Does that make sense? There's a revival that has broken out at a campus in Florida this past week, and it began at their annual conference. And there were all these students, so they're going to be young adults, maybe some teenagers, I don't know, 18, 19, 20. And they started spontaneously confessing their sins, just shouting them out. And then that broke into a time of worship that hasn't stopped. And it's been at least 24 hours. I was trying to get the details on it, but it's incredible because it started with a conviction in the heart to be cleansed by Jesus. Isn't that powerful? And then it poured into worship, just like the woman remembering and giving to God. This year, something that was on my heart was to gather our pastors together and ask them what they'd been through, the different areas of sin that they'd struggled with before Jesus, and the different areas they've struggled challenges they've faced in their life. And so we gathered in my office at the end of the hall a few weeks back, and we filled a pad of paper with all the different areas of what everyone had been through. And if you don't know, our pastor team ranges from the 20s to the 80s. And not years, I mean age, just to clarify. I was like, I don't know how that came out. But we're a multi-generational team, and that's one of the values of our church, that we value the generations. And so it was incredible. We went around the circle, and I want to just share a couple things that are represented through our pastor team. Now, of course, we're missing half our pastor team this morning because half of them are out of town at different places. They, of course, gave me permission to share this. I don't just share someone's testimony without that. In our team alone, God's forgiveness and love has covered these areas. Excuse me. Marriages in crisis, infertility, single parenting, porn addiction, alcoholism, abuse in relationships, identity crisis, depression and loss, and government fugitive situations. Y'all can guess which one that was. These are areas that you might be sitting here today thinking you're all alone in. Now, if there are any government fugitives in the house, please see me after privately, all right? Pastor Tom gets that testimony alone, all right? But you can ask him about it later when he comes back from his trip. But that list that I read, some of us might be sitting here today thinking that we are the only one that has either been through that, and there's lots more that I could have added, but I just wanted to kind of do a concise thing. That we're the only ones that either have been through that, or we can't tell anybody that because the shame or the guilt or the condemnation. And I want to encourage you that there is freedom. And the only reason that we even have a pastor or pastors in the house today is because of the forgiveness of God and the love of God. And that same love and forgiveness is for you. And as we receive that, we become the biggest givers of that. First to God and then to others. Are you following? This is so important because when we worship with music or we give financially or however we are giving back to God, we are giving God love because we have greatly received. To those that have greatly received, you greatly give. But when we live in denial of the forgiveness and the love that we need from God, we don't give either. And we dry up. The woman in the Bible broke open a jar of alabaster perfume worth over 300 denarii, which was an entire year's wages. And if we translate that now, it represents over $25,000 at a minimum. And she just poured it out. And this morning, I was just continuing to meditate on this, and I thought, what is my alabaster jar for Jesus right now? What is my alabaster jar that I am breaking out at his feet this month? And I thought, what is that? And I thought, man, that's kind of an abstract question. And then I heard God say, your time. Are you pouring your time out at my feet? And it doesn't mean you're like locking away in the closet and praying for 5 hours. Maybe it does. Maybe it looks like you're helping someone or doing something, or you're just abiding in his spirit as you work. But what is the alabaster jar that you are breaking open? What is really valuable to you right now that you are just pouring out at the feet of Jesus? Or are you finding yourself today identifying with the Pharisee that welcomed Jesus into his home but wouldn't show love? This is such an important question right now because the world is starved for love. And there's a lot of stuff coming out right now. As I said last Sunday, you know, there's a lot of things coming to light right now and a lot of things swirling, especially online. And if you are finding yourself confused or overloaded by it, we're here to help you process, to pray. And I found myself in that state, even though I wasn't really paying attention to much, but even just a teeny bit of it, there's a perversion of love right now. That's getting, when I say celebrated, I don't mean like happy celebrated, I mean focused on. And the love of God is pure. And the church has a responsibility to receive the pure love of God and give it. Because the world is desperate and confused and celebrating a bunch of I don't even want to describe it. And they are desperate for the love of God. And if the church doesn't give God's love, where is the world going to get it? There is a responsibility on us as a church right now not to point fingers, but to give hands and feet of Jesus. And I want to encourage us. It's going to look different for each of us. It could just look like smiling at someone right now, because that might literally change their day because they've been filled up with all the mess and they just need the pure love of God. Just simple, right? But what does sharing God's love look like right now? And how are you pouring out your alabaster jar at Jesus' feet? Some of us would rather spend 12 hours a day in a prayer room breaking our alabaster jar at Jesus' feet through music or worship than walking out of the prayer room and loving the person next to us at the dining room table or the desk at work. And when you preach on God's love and giving it, it's so important that we start with giving it to God, right? Seek first his kingdom. But we also need to give it to each other. And the most powerful outreaches I've ever participated in always involved worship and outreach. And so in Salem, Massachusetts, we did 72 hours of worship, and then we went off to the streets and prayed for the lost. In Edinburgh, Scotland, we did the same 72 hours of worship, and then worship is happening, and you're in the prayer room worshiping, and then you're going out and you're loving on people. And then you're going back and you're loving God and receiving and giving God love, and then you're going out and loving on people. And it was it's beautiful because you're receiving and giving and then going back in and receiving and giving. But if we're really honest, it is a lot easier to sing a worship song about love than to be kind to the person next to you. And I can preach this with authority because I've been a worship leader longer than I've been a pastor. I was trying to think, I think I started worship leading maybe at 16 or something like that. And it's great. You can just be in this beautiful time of worship, and then you put your instrument down, and you walk off the platform, and then like Brian's there, and I just like snap, right? Or something, and I'm like, I was in a good place. I was with Jesus. Have you ever said that? Have you ever? I'm just being real, all right? It was like, I was in a good place with God. This is your fault. It's like, okay, let's go back to the good place with God, right? You may not have been with God as much as you thought you were, if that's the fruit. Okay, I'm just saying. I speak from personal experience, right? It's easier to sing about, oh, the overwhelming love of God, and then go out and look at the person. And that same love that you just received, it wasn't just for you. It wasn't just for you. It's for the person in front of you that you love, that you hate, that annoys you, that you have to face. Maybe it's for the person in the mirror. Anybody come to mind when Mary was saying, who do you have a hard time loving? And you heard myself? Anybody hear that voice, right? We are called to love God, receive, and then do something with that love. Love looks like something. Amen? Am I just preaching to myself? I'm getting fired up because it's not just about God's love out here. God came to earth, died on a cross, was resurrected in the flesh and made love look like something. What makes you think that we aren't supposed to make love look like something and it's not going to cost us something? It cost him everything. We are called to give love. Luke 6:31 through 36. Almost done. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do that. But love your enemies and do good and lend. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Who has received the kindness and the mercy of God when you are an ungrateful person? Anybody. We are here today because of that. What makes us think that we are not now called to do the same to someone else? That word enemy is not a light word. I don't know about you, but I don't really resonate with the word enemy. I'm like, I don't know. I think of medieval enemies or something. So I had to look up the word. It means an extremely unpleasant, repulsive, or deserving of intense hatred, proceeding out of a personal hatred bent on inflicting harm. This is not a nice word, all right? And I had a disclaimer at the beginning of my message. I didn't share it. I want to be very, very clear. I am not talking about abusive situations. If you are in a situation that's abusive, please talk with a pastor. We are here for you, all right? I just want to put that out there. That is not what I'm talking about here. But we are called to love. That word love is agape. One study describes this word far beyond sentiment. Agape describes as a covenant loyal love that seeks the true good of another, regardless of merit or cost. It is rooted in God's own character. Remember, the love I have to give you does not start with me. It starts with God. And then it is my responsibility to receive it and give it. Are you following? Let's take a look at God's definition of his love. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And love never fails. I had a vulnerable question as we're starting to just wrap up, because I know it's 11:30. You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. But who here is human? All right, I just was checking. If you are human, that means that you have experienced love that is the direct opposite of the description I just gave. Maybe you've given love. In fact, I am 100% sure you've given love that is the exact opposite of the description, which isn't really love as a heads up, but you've given something you thought was love that's not God's definition. But the good news is if you are human, that definition of love is here for you today to receive, so that you can give it. How are we receiving this love and letting it spill out into our marriages, our relationships, our parenting, our friendships, our work relationships, those we love, those we hate? This is where, as I said last week, we either thrive or we have failure to thrive. How are we receiving love and giving it? I'll never forget one Sunday. Brian put this story in my notes here, so I got to say it. Brian and I were first married. I love this. He's going to make me confess my sins. Here we go. All right, so Brian and I were first married, and we had some tech problems up on the platform. And I guess it was probably me. I'm going to be honest with you. I probably snapped at him because it says we were pretty fast and sharp with our words. And I love that we, but I know he put the we in there because it was me. All right. And we did it in front of everyone. How many know it's really great being a pastor and being married? Because, like, here we are, right? And I like to be real, but I like a real God to meet me there. And so Brian and I had an exchange. It wasn't horrible, but for us, it was not our standard of love in our marriage or in the church. And William Hansen, who gave me permission to share the story, he came up to Brian afterwards, and he said, So, how's your marriage? How's marriage treating you? And I love that because we're in a community where Brian had it. Now, don't just go do that to someone random in the church today, okay? Brian and Will were in a deep enough relationship that had the invitation to ask the question. If someone has not invited you there, keep your mouth shut and pray, all right? But William and Brian were in a deep enough friendship that it allowed that, it invited that. And it was so beautiful because William was like, hey, you might want to give and receive a little bit of love there, right? Because I'm noticing something. We communicate strong, I'm German, right? But it's too true that we often give the most familiar people that we're the most familiar with the least amount of grace and love. Is that just me? I have such an easy time. I can love Caleb. Like, let's go. I can forgive Caleb. But when I get home and I shut that door, all the love I poured out to God and all the love I received this morning, it is now my choice. Will I now share it with the person in front of me? If you live alone and you're going to work and maybe it's that coworker, whatever it is in your life, we all know who it's hard to love. And love has boundaries. Love, it's a whole, we could spend a year talking about it, all right? But love is a heart attitude to start, right? Jesus is calling us to a different kind of love in action. John 13, 34 through 35 says, I give you a new command, love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If, everyone say if. You love one another. The overflow of our own experience with Jesus' radical love, we need to remember, matters. It's a huge deal in our faith. And I want to just close with these three things. We need to remember that this is a command from Jesus. I give you a new command, not a new suggestion, a new recommendation. A new command. And that word command, according to one word study, is the Greek verb here embodies the concept of authoritative instruction that must be heeded. It carries an expectation of concrete obedience. The action implied is never merely advisory. It binds the hearer to do. This is a command. This is imperative. This is life or death. This is thrive or failure to thrive in the areas of our lives. It's how the world knows we follow Jesus. It says, by this, everyone will know you are my disciples. And that word know is the experiential kind of know. That's why our mission statement is experience God, inviting people to experience God. People experience you, and that's how they experience God. Are they experience God is love? And it's impossible to obey this without Jesus, right? So just stand on your feet. Just like Mary said during the encounter host time, it's impossible without God. And some of us might be facing some real impossible situations this morning. And I want to invite us right now to just receive from him. And I wanted to close with the worship song, but we're like super late, so are you going to play guitar a little bit? Awesome. Can you play the song? Okay, give it a shot. Do it up. I'm going to close. They're going to do this. If you need to go, that's great. We ran a little over. Thank you for your grace. But if you want to just stay and receive, I invite you to do that. I'm just going to close with this blessing for us. So today I bless you to walk with God, who is love, every moment of every day. I bless you to be transformed by his love, renewing your heart and mind, to receive and to give the radical love of God, to be a walking encounter with Jesus' mercy and grace and forgiveness to everyone around you. And right now, maybe some of us have a name of or a face of somebody that we need to forgive or that we're having a hard time loving. And as I said, just because we forgive or we choose to love doesn't mean we're even in an active relationship with that person if they're not safe, but it does mean that we can stand before God clean and pray for them and bless them. So right now, God, if there's any face or name that's coming to mind, Father, we choose to receive your forgiveness so that we can give it. We choose to receive your love so that we can give it, not as the world gives. Help us be the biggest receivers and givers of your love this week, Father. Help us make love look like something to the people that we have a hard time loving. And God, let your love heal and set free, starting with us right now, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.